tweet at TodaySOR.
Now, the Department of Health has been on to us about that clip of the Minister Simon Harris we played at the top of the programme. They want us to point out that the Minister also said, when I asked him when we'd hit 15,000 tests per day, that, and I quote, "It's impossible to exactly predict, but in the next few days." That was what he said on the 19th of March. Now, we're happy to clarify that. Now, supermarkets and grocery stores are using, are now many people's only trips outside the house each day, and as a result, supermarkets around the country are at their busiest ever. However, for people in self-isolation or cocooning, they may be able only to shop online, but an increasing number of retailers have suspended their online arrangements, while others are warning of delays in deliveries. For more on what's happening in the retail sector right now, I'm joined by Damien O'Reilly, lecturer in retail management in the Technological University Dublin, and by Tara Buckley, Director General of RG Data, the representative group for over 4,000 grocery retailers in Ireland. Morning to you both. Damien, we're hearing of lengthy waits for online shopping of late. What kind of demand is there for this service at the moment?
Well, I spoke with people in the industry over the last number of days, and you can see, say, Tesco, for example, have seen a 300% increase in, like, there's two types of shopping online. Let me just say at the beginning is that online shopping, where they call fulfillment, you order online and your order arrives at the house, or alternatively, you order online and you go and collect. So this kind of click and collect. That click and collect has increased by around 300% in Tesco's and around 200% in Supervalue. And the actual, you know, the online delivery where you get it delivered to your house, that's increased by around 200% in Supervalue and about 50% in Tesco's. Now, you're talking about the length of time for a delivery. You can be talking up to 3 weeks for a delivery. So if you order now with Tesco, they have a three-week delivery slot. And they're working 14 hours a day around the clock practically to get these deliveries done. And similarly with Supervalue. So there is quite a lengthy time, but it's not that easy just to ramp up, because if you're doing proper online deliveries, for example, those trucks that deliver the product to you, they have four compartments in them. They have a chilled, they have a frozen, they have an ambient, and they have an area for detergents and so on. So, you know, you can't just go and buy extra trucks because of the increase in demand. It's not that easy to do.
Yeah, and would you say that panic buying, such as it was, has eased off at this stage?
Yeah, it's become regularised. What's happening, though, is that people, because they're not going out to eat, is that they're buying different products. So different products are seeing different levels of demand. But, you know, the actual demand has steadied. People are buying larger baskets because they don't want to go out, and it's very difficult to get a slot. So the average order for at the moment is around €150, which is around 80 to 90 products on average. But one of the issues they have around that is actually having good pickers. You know, it costs money to do this, Sean, and I would suggest, I don't know this, but I would suggest that it probably costs them around 10 to 15 euros to deliver your order, and basically they may be charging you 5 to 7 euros for that. So, you know, most of these deliveries do not make money for the company. They don't make extra profits for them.
Tara, what about the smaller independent grocers? They're at least still open, but how are they finding the changed landscape in which they're operating?
Well, Sean, it's been a very challenging time, but maybe the big difference for the smaller independents that we represent, these would be the local shops, the convenience stores, the supermarkets in towns and villages all over Ireland, is that it's a bit more informal the way they've been dealing with this issue of trying to get deliveries to customers who are vulnerable or staying at home or in cocooning. And there's a lot more local and other types of volunteerism, which is fantastic to see. So, you know, in a way, the local shop has responded in a slightly different way. And we've seen great link up between our members and maybe local community groups or other local customers who are helping to make sure that people on their own are able to get their groceries delivered to them. So either they're phoning the store or they're collecting lists and they're coming into the store and the packages are going out again and being delivered to them. They're also linking up with the Gardaí in many instances, or with the local GAA or other local groups. And so in a way, it's been a great coming together of communities to help each other. And they're not relying maybe on the sort of the online thing. They're actually just linking with each other and helping each other out.
Right. And what about, I think you've encountered what some of your members would describe as COVID idiots. What kind of behaviour does that refer to?
Well, luckily it's been limited enough, but I suppose that's the unfortunate thing. When you have a crisis, unfortunately, we always see a few idiots turn up. We've had incidents of where we're trying to manage. A lot of our members are trying very hard to manage social distancing and to follow the HSE guidance. So they may have, for example, quotas in the store. So they're asking you to wait outside, and they've marked, you know, the signage on the ground so you can wait with appropriate social distancing. And we have had some instances where people have turned up and being shouted at staff or shouted at security staff, or have tried to pass in queues. Or unfortunately, we've had incident where somebody has spat at a staff member claiming they've COVID-19. So what I will say is that the guards have been fantastic, and they've reacted very quickly. So we don't think this is going to continue. We think people have got the message very clearly that this is not acceptable.
Now, some stores, a lot of them, in fact, have put sanitizers at the entrance. Are there situations where maybe a customer could be refused entry if they refuse to use that sanitizer?
Well, really what we're doing, Sean, is our members are really trying to work with their customers and their local community and their staff to try and make sure they can keep the door open. And we're finding in general that people are very happy to follow the guidance and do what they're being asked to do. So members would have different things, hand sanitizers. Some of them have gloves at the door for customers. They've wiped so they can wipe down their trolleys, or the actual shopkeeper is organising people to do all of that. We're cleaning our stores every 15 minutes. Our staff, we've put up Perspex screens at counters and at the tills so that our staff are protected. We've marked the floors throughout the store to try and assist people in understanding what the 2 metre distance is. And so there's an awful lot happening, and in a way our members, who are really brilliant shopkeepers, have had to become public health experts overnight as well.
And have they been putting in those screens that we've seen in the bigger outlets?
Absolutely. We've been doing that. I mean, obviously, our members are working very closely with their staff to make sure their staff feel happy and comfortable coming to work. And to be honest with you, we were phoning around this morning because I knew I was coming on to talk to you. And the first thing, you know, all our members are saying is how fantastic their staff have been. They are nervous, they are afraid, but they are coming in because they do see themselves as essential workers, and they see the importance of making sure people can get their food and their necessary supplies.
Yeah, and is it possible maybe because they're smaller and they're more local and they maybe know their customers that bit better than the bigger stores, that people wouldn't actually have to wait 3 weeks to get a delivery?
Well, absolutely. And one thing I would say is that for some of the people who think that they have to go to a very large supermarket, you know, remember your local store, because our members are stocked up with things you need and the other bits and bobs that you might need when you're cocooning at home or you're stuck at home with the kids. So, you know, we would have members in places where their footfall has dropped because maybe they're in the middle of town and people aren't going to town. But just remember when you're going out on that shopping trip that local shop is there for you, and they've put in place all the safety measures. So it's very safe to go there and shop. And certainly, in terms of if you need things, our members have put together informal and are working together to put more formal things in place for online ordering and click and collect and organising deliveries and linking up. If you ring them and tell them what you need, they can help get the guards or get the GAA or get somebody else locally to help them get the deliveries to you. So there is a fantastic community spirit.
Okay, and to come back to yourself, Damien O'Reilly, lecturer in retail management at the Technological University Dublin, what do you think the retail sector generally is going to look like when this is over?
Well, you know, post-virus, I think what we need to look at is probably the resilience of retailers, as Tara has spoken about. One of the things she did mention, and I'd concur entirely with her, is that the message now is to buy Irish. You buy Irish, you buy local. The local produce comes from local producers. And then when we're buying online, is that, you know, if I spend 100 euros and I buy something from ASOS and it comes from the UK, that 100 euro then is spent in the UK, if you spend it with an Irish retailer, it stays in the Irish economy, and we have that multiplier effect. I just wanted to mention that. But post, you know, the resilience of Irish retailers has been amazing over the last number of years since the recession, and we haven't suffered maybe as much as they have in the UK, where there's been a lot of consolidation. What I would look at is that this is a chance, an opportune time for reflection for retailers. SMEs especially tend to work from day to day and month to month and try and survive, a lot of the smaller retailers. But this is a time that they can actually sit back, reflect on what their business is about, who their customers are, and they can, I look at resilience, reimagination, and for towns and town centres, for local county councils, is that they need to look at repurposing the town. The town centre is going to change. When I talk about repurposing, I'm saying, what's the purpose of my town? Is it to bring visitors in? Is it to for maybe holidays, or is it for a destination for clothing? Is it a destination for a particular type of retail? But I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be a shift now and how we work and how we live and how we use technology, and that's going to change over the next months. And then institutions and companies, you know, and SMEs will have to reinvent themselves and make better use of the data that they get from customers and understanding customers better. And the online world, where it's contactless now, if people have got used to being working online, and you know, with online, there's no contact with anybody else. So the product is delivered to your house. So I can see that's going to be bolstered, and that will reshape consumer behaviour in the future. So retailers have got to be aware that the online environment is going to increase over the coming months. And the last point I'd make is that we could be seeing the end of the supply chain globalization, and that production and sourcing of products for especially fashion retailers will move closer to the end user, and we'd have more factories and so on, even here in Ireland or certainly within the
European Union. To take a long number of years for it all to work itself out. Damien, thank you. Last word to you, Tara Buckley, Director of RG Data. As I say, 4,000 grocery retailers. Do your members foresee big changes?
Well, absolutely. But I suppose one thing that we hope that people will realise is that the huge value of your local independent shop. And I absolutely echo what Damien said about how important it is that we all support these local businesses who are providing employment in the locality and reinvesting in the locality.
Yeah, well, what do you say, Tara, to Frank, who tweets our text, I should say, local shops are far too expensive for low-income people?
I disagree with Frank, and I certainly don't think that my members are too expensive in terms of the services they provide and the prices they charge in terms of what they're offering people. I think you can go to your local shop and get very good value. We are constantly watching our offers and our prices to make sure that we're providing good service and good value. But the other thing that we provide that nobody else provides is that hub in your community. And as we all at the moment are trying to do social distancing and stay at home, hopefully we're starting to realise the value of having that a hub in the heart of your community where people do get out and about and meet other people and talk and chat and work together as a community. And I think my members in their local shops right around Ireland are proving that that's a really important resource to have in your community.
Okay.
And it's one you should support.
Tara, thank you very much indeed. Sean, my grocery store delivers as I need, and the GAA are on board also to deliver, so no delays. Tara Buckley, and also my thanks to Damien O'Reilly. Thank you. And we'll be talking to another Damien who knows all about GAA matters. That'll be Damien Lawler with us after the break.